If you would, open with me to Isaiah 55. I suppose that this is true, that all parents want something better for their children than what they had growing up. We all, I think it comes from a sense of feeling like we missed out on something in our childhood, and we want to try to make sure our children don't have that experience. Never fails. We're going to miss something, and they're going to go through the same circle and try to accomplish whatever it is that I'm going to miss with my kids. But there are some of us who the Lord's been gracious to. And He's given us a heart. He's given us a heart that He's put in us. A heart that desires more for our children than just to be comfortable, just to have a better education, a better job, to be happy. We know these are temporal things. We know they're not going to last. But some of us, there's a remnant that the Lord has blessed and given a new heart and a new life. And with that comes new desires. And yeah, I want my children to be happy. I want them to be successful in this world. But more than that, I want them to know Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Above all things, that is of utmost importance to me. That they attend, that they listen, and they hear the gospel. And not only for my children, but my friends, my neighbors, my family, that they would know Christ and the power of His resurrection. With that in mind, let's read Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. What is my heart's desire for my children? That they would be seekers of the Lord. What's my heart's desire for myself? That I would be a seeker of the Lord. My goal this evening is to encourage each of us to seek the Lord by answering 5 questions. First, we'll define what it is to seek. Then we'll look at who is to seek. Who do we seek? Why do we seek Him? And how can we seek Him? Most of us in here can probably remember our first math problems. Not math problems, but our first math classes, where they were kind enough to introduce us to word problems. Those dreadful word problems that everybody hates. What was our problem with those word problems? Generally speaking, they gave too much information. I need to know what 2 plus 2 is, but I'm going to throw in 2 plus 2 apples minus 6 oranges plus 5 trains or something. I don't know. They were stupid questions. and they distracted. All that information distracted us from the real problem. What was really being asked. And is it not the same with us? Do we not overcomplicate everything? Particularly when we're dealing with the Scriptures. We try to make it hard. We were speaking earlier about the simplicity that is in Christ. Our salvation is of the Lord. Not the Lord plus, not the Lord minus. Our salvation is of the Lord. Nothing added to it. It's not relying on me. It's Him. He has accomplished it. He's done it. With those word problems, all that overcomplication, we didn't understand what the true objective was. We didn't understand what the goal was. So we didn't know how to ask the right question to get the answer we needed. What is it to seek? Does seeking simply mean that I look around for the Lord? I do a glance. I'm seeking Him. I've read my chapter in the Bible for the day. I've sought the Lord. I'm good. Does it mean coming into church and sitting there during service, listening as the word is declared, and leaving and going about my week? And then when the door opens again, I come back in and I listen, and I leave, go about my life? Hold your place here. We'll come back to Isaiah 55 and turn over with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Our Lord is speaking a parable here. And in part of the parable, verse 8, Luke 15, 8, He says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Every time I've heard that parable of this woman spoken or read, I've always envisioned my great-grandmother, a widower of or a widow of many years. But she set aside 10 pieces of silver. Silver may not have much value to it. It could have monetary value. But think of it more in terms of a special gift. This is a grandmother who perhaps has 10 grandchildren. And she has set aside a coin, a silver piece, for each of these grandchildren to be given to them on a special occasion. Perhaps when they graduate high school. Maybe when they get married. The coin means more to her than the monetary value. It is a gift. She has set it aside for a particular loved one. And she has them stowed in a special place. And she checks on them every now and again. Oh, one day I get to give that to this child. And one morning she goes in and one of those pieces of silver is missing. It's almost breaking her heart. She must find it. It's for a particular person. It has to be that coin. She lights her candle and she searches the house. She has one purpose. She's going to find that lost piece of silver. This is the seeker I want to be after Christ. He is far more precious than any piece of metal to me. To know Him, to find Him, to seek after Him. That's what I want to do. What is it to seek the Lord? It's to search with effort after a precious object that you desire above all others. Think of this woman who lost that piece of silver. What if she had been interrupted during her search? One of her grandchildren came to the door, perhaps the grandchild who that coin was meant for. She has to pause her physical searching. She doesn't want that child to know she's lost that coin. And she has duties to perform. She's a good hostess. Child comes in. Let me get you a plate of cookies. She goes to the kitchen. While she's performing her duties, while she's getting that plate of cookies, she's searching that house. Maybe under the rug. as soon as they leave, I'm going to look under that rug. Maybe over that corner. It could have rolled over there. Here's your cookies. Let me get you this drink. Maybe above that cabinet. Here's your drink. She goes about her day performing what she is required to do. All the while, she's searching. She's seeking. If she's forced to leave the home, a friend is sick, she's in need, the lady leaves the house, the whole time she's gone, she's mentally going through that house. Where's the coin? Where's the coin? And still performing her duties. We are given the commandment. It's not an invitation. It's not a suggestion. Seek ye the Lord. Consider how Christ sought His church. He sought us when we were dead in sin and unbelief. He came to where we are. As He sought us, so should we seek Him with effort and with diligence. Now, that's what it is to seek. Who is to seek? Seek ye the Lord. Who is ye? I spent a lot of time trying to find a true definition. I never found one that I liked. But it muddied the waters the more I read about it. Seek ye the Lord. This congregation, including me. Seek ye San Diego. You're not excluded, even if you're not in this worship service. Seek ye. All of us are commanded to seek the Lord. Psalm 33:8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." No one is excluded. Not limited by age, height, ability, income. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. O.B. Williams, as an individual, you're responsible to seek the Lord. Mike Smith, you're responsible to seek the Lord. As a collective body of God's subjects, we are to seek the Lord. As individuals, we are to seek the Lord. And who do we seek? We seek the Lord. We're not commanded to seek a doctrine, a church, a religious experience. We're not even commanded to seek God. But we are to seek the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord, Jehovah God. The God who saves. You and I are unable to approach God. We declared in our father Adam that we will have nothing to do with the God that created us. We are dynamically opposed to God, and if we were to approach to God without a mediator, we will find Him to be a consuming fire. Our God cannot tolerate sin. And approaching Him apart from Christ Jesus in our sin will be our destruction. Thank God that we are commanded to seek the Lord. We seek after the Lord our righteousness, the one who by Himself has made peace with God. We search for Jesus Christ, the just God and Savior of sinful men. Now, when should we seek? There's a time limit upon our opportunity to seek. Look at our text again, Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. There will be a day come that if you seek, He won't be found. Esau, after he had sold his birthright to Jacob, sought to obtain the blessing carefully with tears, but he could not find it. The time to obtain the blessing had passed, and Esau had no hope. You and I need to seek the Lord today, right now, while he may be found. You who are longing to be free from the bondage of sin and shame, seek the Lord. Seek to know him who is able to save to the uttermost. You don't need to learn rules and catechisms and scriptures. We're not seeking knowledge for knowledge's sake. We're seeking a man. There is a man seated in heaven at God's right hand. A man we can get to know. I want to know him. To be found in him. To seek him. I'm not discounting knowing your scriptures. That's how we learn of him. This is his word. He is the living word. But I can't quote scriptures like I should be able to. But I see him. I know him. There was a man who was given eyes to see. And they took him before the Sanhedrin, and who has opened your eyes? You were healed. I don't know much. He didn't know much. Couldn't recognize him. He said, there is a man named Jesus, and he opened my eyes. He knew who had done the work for him. He didn't have to know all about him. He knew him, he believed him, he loved him. And I'm sure he grew to know him more as time went on. When else do we seek? We need to seek at all times. In times of joy, in times of sorrow, doubt, or in times of peace. When we're rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Last weekend we had a conference in Kingsport that the Lord blessed greatly. And our hearts overflowed. And we need to seek our Lord when our hearts are cold, when the heavens are as brass, when we can't pray, when we feel like the Lord has left us alone. Seek the Lord at all times. Look with me at Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Have you been there? I've been there. When I feel so alone, so abandoned. Did she just lay there and bemoan her state? Oh no. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? She's pulling out all the stops, asking everywhere. She's seeking him. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I'd brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. We are to seek until we have found him out. But the more we seek, the more that we know of him, the more we're going to desire to seek him all the more. That woman who lost her piece of silver sought until she had found the whole piece. And we seek for something that's far more precious than a piece of silver. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Having been awakened from death unto life, we who were blind to the light of Christ begin to see. And having a little light, we chase after the source of that light. It's as if we're in a cave. Imagine y'all have been on cave tours. They always turn the lights out so that you can see how dark it is. And they tell you your light, your eyes will never adjust to that darkness. But if you're caught in that cave and a speck of light comes through, it looks so bright, surrounded with all that darkness. And as the Lord begins to open our eyes and to shed a little light of the glory of Christ to us, we're like in that cave and we see that light and we'll start going to it, start chipping away. Let a little more come through. Let a little more come through. Let a little more come through. That's how we are. Believers who have been shown the glory of Christ want to see it more and more. Tell me more of Him. Point me to Him. Let me find Him. Pray our hearts do not turn cold, that we stop seeking to know more of our precious Redeemer, that we might all become seekers of Christ. Looked at what it is to seek, who should seek, who we seek for, when to seek. Now, why should I seek the Lord? Why should you seek the Lord? This is my most enjoyable part of this message. This is when I get to tell you how great things God has done for me. I seek the Lord, the God who saves, because I need a Savior. I need a mighty Redeemer. I seek the Lord because He first sought me. And I seek Him because I love Him and I want to be with Him. I desire to know more about Him. Earlier I said that Christ has made peace with God. And if you're like me, there was a time you didn't realize that you were at war with God. Oh, me and my God, we got along just fine. We were in perfect agreement. I knew His law, honor thy father and thy mother. I knew that law. Did I keep it? No. But that's okay. Because me and my God, we had an understanding. See, I couldn't live up to His law, so we just changed the law a little bit. Honor thy mother and thy father as long as they don't mess up. It's their fault when I don't honor them anyway, right? I had my God set up. He obeyed my commands. After all, it was just me. Some here may still be of the opinion that that God, at the end of all things, yeah, I've broken your law a little bit, but I lived the best I could, so you're going to accept me. The Word of God tells a different story. The Word of God declares a just and holy God who will not pardon iniquity. The Word of God declares of all mankind there is none good, no, not one. The carnal mind, that mind that we are born with and inherit from our rebellious father, is enmity against God. God Almighty is life. He doesn't have life as we do. He is life. And He can have nothing to do with death. Do you realize that we are, every one of us, born into this world without spiritual life? We do not possess the ability to fellowship with God because our nature rejects the life of God. We are born in trespasses and sins. We are born dead. And death and life cannot have fellowship. Turn over a couple chapters to Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 2. Our Lord is speaking here, and He says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. These verses describe me in my natural estate. God has been exceeding merciful to me. I grew up under the sound of the gospel from elementary school up. And rather than that causing me to have a tender heart toward God, to look towards Him, I was as Israel of old. And I said, I stood apart from others, and I thought myself holier than thou. I went to a proper church, a sovereign grace church. My parents were saved. And therefore, God must accept me because of my heritage. What a foul stench I was in God's sight. I didn't just say that I was holier than you. I said to God Almighty, I'm holier than you. Depart from me. We deserve God's wrath. I deserved God's wrath. But one day, God had mercy on me. And a man stood and declared the gospel of Christ Jesus and the power of His resurrection to me. And for the first time, I heard not the words of a man, I heard the words of God. And I was guilty. I was slain. Nothing I could do would justify me before that God. Not the God of my imagination, but the holy, thrice holy God with whom we have to do. I was convicted of being a sinner, not of having committed sin. I am sin. I was brought to an end of myself, and I found I needed a Redeemer. A Redeemer who was exceeding rich, for I am a great sinner, and I needed His mercy. Needed His grace. And I needed a Redeemer who was willing to redeem me. Not only did He have to have the power to do it, He had to be willing to. and I'd had nothing to offer. I was a beggar. And I wasn't a beggar as we see on our streets. Beggars who walk up to the car to receive a handout or hold a sign up. No, I'm a beggar, a blind beggar, a deaf beggar, a beggar lame on both feet, a beggar with withered hands. I'm an infant, so weak I can't even cry out. Whoever takes up my case gets nothing in return but a burden. That's all I'm ever going to be, in and of myself. I need a Redeemer who is compassionate, who is loving, who is kind, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. Oh, I'm going to fail Him over and over and over. And patient. My Lord saw me in that vile, wretched condition, and He had mercy on me, because I was one of His. Because God the Father gave His Son as His inheritance this wretched sinner. And because He loves me, because He loves His Father, a body was prepared for Him. And He freely said to the justice of God, "Let this sinner go. His sins, be they ever so wretched and ever so many, they're mine." And then He took my condemnation. He suffered my death. On that cross, He shed His blood for me. But oh, He's exceedingly rich. His glorious, precious blood bought not only this one sinner's redemption, but all that the Father have given to Him. Praise His name. Justice no longer seeks my life. The riches of His grace He redeems exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. On the third day, after He was taken down from the cross, He rose again. And my Lord, my Christ, who died for me, now lives, making intercession for me. And He has clothed me in His own righteousness. He who was once clothed in my wretched likeness and bore my sin and shame, now clothes me in His own glorious apparel, the very righteousness of God. Why seek after Him? Isn't He worthy to be sought after? He loved me, He sought me, and He is the mighty Redeemer who can save me. One final thought to address this morning. How do we seek Him? How does a dead, lost sinner, a son of Adam, seek after the Lord God? He's dead. He can do nothing for Himself. But when God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit move upon a dead sinner, they go from death unto life. And they become a seeker of the Lord. When the Lord commands a dead sinner to seek, that sinner seeks. Psalm 27:8 says, "When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." If we're going to hear the Lord say, "Seek ye my face," we're going to have to be where He has promised to be. Our Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Do you want to know more of Christ? To grow in faith? To seek Him more? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we're going to become seekers, gather together with God's people. Hear the Word proclaimed by a preacher, sent of God. We can read His Word. We can search for Him in His Scriptures, for they are the Word of God. And we can ask God to give us a heart that seeks after Him. The second part of how concerns our attitude in seeking. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, Jesus Christ entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What do you think of the men's attitudes who brought this sick man? I think they were seeking Christ with some urgency. They had heard that Christ was in the house. They didn't know how long He'd be in there. He had left the town once. He might leave it again. They took their friend and went to the house, but they couldn't enter for the crowd. Well, we'll turn around and go home, come back at a more convenient hour. That hour may pass. No, we've got to get in. These men had urgent business with Christ, and they were hopeful. They were expectant for their friend. Christ didn't have to heal the man. He didn't have to redeem him. But He had redeemed others. He had healed the sick in that town before. These men had hope for their friend. They were bringing them to one they knew could heal. And if they didn't get their friend to Him, they knew he had no hope. And these men came diligently. Think of the obstacles they faced. The man couldn't lift himself. They had to go get him. I don't even know if the man could speak. He may have been so paralyzed that he couldn't even utter a word to him. He didn't ask to be brought. They knew he needed help. They went and got him. Brought him. Couldn't get in. Climb up on the roof. How are we going to get in? It's sealed. It's not our house. Don't care. Tear it apart. We've got to get in. He's got to come to Christ. May God make me a seeker like unto these men. To seek Him with urgency, for my need is great. To seek Him with diligence and with great expectations. I fail. I fail at that so horribly bad. Even when praying for my children, that the Lord will have mercy upon them, at the same time that I'm praying for them, somewhere in the back of my mind, there's a little voice that keeps going, why would he? He's not going to save them. It's no wonder my prayers go unanswered when I think so little of my Lord. He saved this wretch. He can save others. Seek ye the Lord. This is the command we have from our God. It's to each of us. And we're to seek after our Lord and Savior with effort and diligence. We seek after Christ and Him crucified, and we call out with Paul, oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. When do we seek Him? While it is called today. Seek the Lord now. Seek Him in times of joy or distress. Seek ye the Lord. Why do we seek Him? Because He is a mighty Redeemer and He is the Savior of sinful men. Because He sought us and because of His love to us. And finally, how do we seek Him? In the gathering together to hear His Word proclaimed, in seeking Him out in Scriptures and in prayer, and we seek Him expectantly, with urgency, and diligently. Oh Lord, make us seekers. Amen.